I get to continue in this series that we've been in called Pitfalls. And Pastor started this series a couple weeks ago. And we know that a pitfall, right, it's a deep hole that can be cleverly camouflaged, maybe with sticks or leaves. It's so that prey can fall into it and they can't get out. And here's the sneaky thing about a pitfall, right? The sneaky thing about a pitfall is you don't realize the danger of a pitfall until you've fallen into it, right? I mean, here's the thing. You've been there in life, right? Tell me. I mean, you, where all of a sudden you're just walking on your journey in life. I mean, you're just, you know, just going. And then boom, all of a sudden out of nowhere, you've fallen into some hole. There you are, and you can't get out. You didn't even see it coming. And there's some holes that we need help to get out of. And aren't you thankful that we have Jesus who loves us so much, and he's gonna help us out of those holes. And we have the Holy Spirit that can help us discern the enemy's camouflage. And we have God's word that's there to guide us. In church, are you ready for that word this morning? All right, I want you to go ahead, get your Bibles out, get your phone Bible, get your physical Bible out, and turn to Matthew, and we're gonna go to chapter 22. And let's see what God has to say. You know, Pastor Sam, he's read as he started this series, 2 Corinthians 11:3, where Paul says, he's saying that he's concerned that our pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. Just as Eve was deceived by the cunning, there's that sneaky word there, cunning ways of the serpent. And listen, there's gonna be camouflage pitfalls in the journey of life, and we gotta be ready to navigate these pitfalls or we're gonna get trapped. And Paul is saying, if God made a perfect people in a perfect place, and he's saying, listen, their devotion to Christ got corrupted. We are imperfect people living in an imperfect place. He's saying, listen, we better watch our steps. We better watch our steps. So, and the Holy Spirit revealed a cleverly disguised pitfall to Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, and we're gonna go to verse 34. Pastor used this passage this last week, and boy, I wanna dive right back into it. And actually, could we go ahead and stand in the honor of the reading of God's word this morning? There were some people who wanted to trap Jesus because they felt like they were losing spiritual control. And here we go, here's where we pick up, Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Let's pray. Jesus, Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for your presence, Lord, as we've just sensed it here in this service. And Holy Spirit, would you make Jesus so real as we sit at his feet? And would you give us the guidance to avoid pitfalls of the enemy? God, and I pray as your word is spoken today, would you reveal the areas that we need to grow? Would you reveal the areas we need to change? And we invite you to come into the deepest parts of us today. And would you make us more like you? That's our heart, Lord. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name we speak it. Come on, if you agree, would you say amen? Amen. Well, hey, go ahead and be seated. Give somebody an air high five on the way down, an air hug, a Y five, right? Some of you just catching up there. Jesus, he had an incredible way of taking profound truths and making them simple. Listen, profound enough to confound the most learned of men, but easy enough for a child to understand. I mean, listen, easy enough for me to understand this. And here's what Satan loves to do. He loves to wrap people in theological spaghetti where they can't figure out the beginning from the end. They can't figure out what's the major things and what's the minor things. So today, we're gonna talk about watching our steps around the pitfall of overcomplication. All right, get ready. Does anybody in here feel like your life can get overly complicated at times? I mean, come on, like there's like three of us. Well, this will be really good for you today. How many know life can get overly complicated at times? I tell you, the morning you wake up and you're like, good morning, Lord, right? And then by the time you get to the evening, you're like, good Lord, would you help me, right? That's our lives. And you know, you get married, right? And you know, it goes off perfectly, like a well-oiled machine. I mean, it goes just perfectly. And then all of a sudden, a pitfall comes on your journey, right? Or maybe there's some holes so deep that you can't even get out of. Maybe you need somebody to help you get out of. Actually, frankly, it doesn't have to be a deep hole. Sometimes some potholes, that can be enough to trip you up on your journey. Don't be mistaken by that. And listen, our lives get busy, our schedules get full, and I think what can happen is we can forget about God. I think that happens. I think we can forget about God. Our lives can get complicated. So who has kids in the room? Who has kids? You know where I'm going. Life can get complicated, right? I mean, it can get complicated. So I have two children. One of them's two and one of them's five. And could you show, there they are. They deserve every single awe in this room. They are cute. Could be complicated sometimes, but they are cute. But I mean, could be complicated sometimes. And it's a good complication. But you guys know how it works, right? I mean, you gotta wake up in the morning and then you gotta get the kids to school and then you gotta, you know, go to work. And after you go to work, you gotta get groceries on the way home because you gotta cook dinner when you get home. And then after you cook dinner, you gotta clean up the house and then you get your daughter to dance class. And then after dance class, you get home and you're supposed to, you know, squeeze in the quality time with the family. And then you gotta clean up again because somehow it got messy, you know, in just a couple minutes there. And then you gotta, you know, get the kids ready for bed, and then you get yourself ready for bed, and then you wake up the next morning and you do it all over again, except somewhere in the middle of all that crazy happens. You know what I'm talking about? When just crazy seems to happen, things can get overly complicated sometimes. And here's the point. We can allow the complications of life to become pitfalls. And sometimes we make things complicated that aren't supposed to be. Our relationship with God, our relationship with people. And in Matthew 22, Jesus shows us how to avoid the pitfall of complication. And I wanna go back to this passage for a second. I love how Jesus takes something that looks complicated and he makes it simple. He reveals how simple it really is. So here we go, back to Matthew 22. We're gonna start in 34. You'll see it on the screens here as well. Let's go through this together. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him. Listen to that. They tried to trap him with this question. Watch as this Pharisee tries to make something complicated out of something that is designed to be the most basic, fundamental truth in our relationship with God and others. Listen, he's about to dig a nice deep pitfall for Jesus. But I want you to look at, here's his question. He goes, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Now understand, the Pharisees had turned the original 10 commandments into 1,000 laws, right? Everything from precisely how many steps you could take on the Sabbath and not consider it work to, you know, you need to tithe 10 grains of salt for every 100. And here's, I love what Jesus' response is. Look at this. He says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." And I want you to pay attention to this last verse right here. "The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." Wow, I mean, listen, Jesus takes the profound and he makes it simple, doesn't he? I tell you, if you wanna avoid the pitfall of complication, we just need to simplify. But if you wanna simplify, here's the key right here in this verse. If you wanna follow the word of God, here's what you do. You love God and you love people. Listen, it's so simple. Let's say it together. Say, love God and love people. I love Jesus. He makes this nice and simple for us to understand. And here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying the whole Bible can be wrapped up in these two commandments right there. And before we dive in a little deeper today, I want to talk just a little bit about this word love that Jesus is using. And let's do a short word study together today. Can we do that? This may be a refresher for some of you, maybe brand new to others, but let's talk about God's meaning for the word love here. You know, today our world uses the word love in many different ways. Am I right? Many different ways. And quite frankly, I think it can get a little complicated at times. You know, when I tell Kristen, when I tell you, honey, that I love you, my love for Kristen carries an imprint of covenant with it, right? But when I say that I love Kristen, I love my wife, and my love for a good, juicy, crispy chicken sandwich, right? We're talking about two different types of love. Some people may argue that they're the same, but they are different. I'm telling you, they're different. And here's the thing. With my love, I could be grateful to someone that maybe does something for me, or I could love someone because of their relationship to me. But here's what I'm trying to get at. I can love my wife, potato chips, Jesus, music, fishing, and my grandma all with the same English word, love. Right? And here's the thing. Human affections are really broad. And so we understand it makes sense that they have different meanings for the concept of love. And the Bible uses different words that reflect different concepts of love as well. So first, here we go. There's the Hebrew word found in the Old Testament. It's ahab, and it represents man's greatest affections. But it can mean a number of different things. And you can love people, you can love something, and it's the greatest of man's affections, but it's not necessarily the highest, not necessarily the most noble, but it's the greatest. And then we have in the Greek, there's words for love that we find in the New Testament. And here are three words that all translate to the word love. You have eros, which is a Greek word. It's actually not found in the New Testament there, but we would know it as it's a sexual love or it's a sexual desire. Eros is what that is. Then you have phileo. Maybe some of you have heard that. You find it all throughout the New Testament. Phileo is brotherly love. That's where we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, right? And then the last word here I want to cover is the word in regards to loving God and loving people. Here it is. It's the word agape, right? Or in this passage, it's used as agapao, which is simply, it's the verb form here of agape. And this word means God's unconditional love. This is the love that we're talking about here. It isn't, I love you if you do this, or I love you if you love me, or I love you, but, no, I mean, it's just plain, I love you is what it is. And we can see this overarching theme of agape love all throughout scripture. And if you love God and you love people with this kind of love, you fulfill the whole law. Listen, we know in order to avoid the pitfall of overcomplication, we need to simplify. The key to simplifying is love, loving God and loving people. So, okay, we know about love. How do we love? We're just gonna keep breaking this down. Is that all right this morning? Let's keep breaking it down. How do we love? Be committed. There it is, be committed. Listen, our world tosses around the word love today in so many different ways, right? I mean, you can fall into it, you can fall out of it. You know, you watch TV shows and it seems like love is this, you know, magical feeling. It sneaks up on you when you least expect it. And you know, your eyes will meet their eyes from across the room and you'll just know, oh, this is a love of a lifetime, right? That's what it looks like. But I mean, we just know that isn't the case. The key to love is commitment. You can't just fall into it and fall out of it. You either start committing or you stop committing. That's what you do. You don't fall into it, fall out of it. You start committing or you stop committing. And when you commit to someone, you should experience the feelings of love. You experience the feelings of love. But the feelings of love, let me make a distinction. The feelings of love are not the love of a lifetime. The love of a lifetime is commitment. It's the result of commitment for a lifetime. Listen, Pastor Sam, he talked, you know, this past couple weeks, talked about being devoted to God. And he shared all the benefits that you find in the word about being devoted to God. But by being devoted to God, you really could also say you're being fully committed to God. You know, when Kristen and I, when we got married, you know, I made a vow to Kristen. I made a promise. I made a commitment to her that I would be by her side for better or for worse. And just this past month, we celebrated being together for 7 years. And they've been amazing years being married together. They've been incredible. And we grow closer every single year. We're starting to think alike. Sweetheart, I feel like we finish each other's sentences. You know, sometimes, I mean, it's like, you know, we're eating the same foods. She used to not like spicy foods. I love spicy foods. But now she's starting to like spicy foods. The Lord has helped her with that. You know, we like the same shows. I mean, listen, I've even discovered the way that she likes me to dress. I mean, I didn't pick out this outfit this morning, but that's not the point. What I'm saying is that we've grown closer together and we've learned to appreciate each other's unique qualities and we've become more like each other in the most important ways. And here's why. I made a commitment to this woman and we've stuck to our commitments. That's why we've stuck to our commitments. Now, I want you to apply that like-mindedness with our relationship with God. Here's what 1 John 4:16 says. It says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. He's saying, listen, all who live in love live in God. If you want to become more like God, commit to God. If you want the love of a lifetime, commit to him. If you want to line up with the things of God, you're going to have to commit. And here's why. You will not experience the fullness of love until you've made a commitment and you've stuck to it. You want to grow in your love? Stay committed. You want to stay in love with God? You need to make that commitment and you need to keep it. There's a story. It's powerful, powerful story about Ruth and Naomi in the Bible. And you may know it. You know it as Ruth makes this commitment to Naomi, her mother-in-law, that she would stay with her. And Ruth, she meets the love of her life. And I want to read this passage here, and then we can talk about it. Ruth chapter 2, and it starts in verse 10. She bowed down her face to the ground, and she asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother in your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. So here's Ruth, and she meets her future husband, and he notices her. Listen to this scripture. He notices her because she is incredibly committed. He notices her because he realizes Ruth is a woman of deep, abiding commitment. And I love the strength of Ruth's words here that she says to Naomi. Listen to these. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Ruth makes a powerful commitment and she sticks to her commitment. And she was noticed for her commitment and she was blessed through her commitment. And the result was she got to experience the love of a lifetime and her story made the New Testament headlines in the lineage of Jesus. There is power in staying committed. I love what Jesus says in John 14:15. It's so simple. Listen to this. I love it. Jesus makes it simple for us. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Jesus is saying, listen, if you really want to love me, he says, be committed to me. He's not saying, you know, like the Pharisees, if you love me, you'll keep 1,000 do's and don'ts. No, he's saying, if you want to stay in love with me, if you want to stay in love with me, stay committed to me. You know, maybe some of you feel like maybe you used to be more in love with Jesus. You used to feel more in love. You used to have that closeness, but also you don't feel like you have that same love anymore. May I suggest that if your love didn't grow, you probably didn't remain committed. Because listen, if you remain committed, your love will grow and you will experience the feelings of love. You know, I love what Pastor says. He mentioned this last week. He said, if you give yourself to this church for a year, you'll be a transformed person. Listen, your commitment to God and to people will grow your love for God and your love for people. And with the simplicity of love, be fulfilling God's law. Listen, we need a commitment that does not waver, but is constant. So there's a story, Kristen and I, we went to, my wife, we went to Cedar Point years ago. And listen, I love roller coasters. Does anybody in the room love roller coasters? Where's the people? Yes, look at you, even started clapping, you're so excited. I love roller coasters. Kristen, she does not love roller coasters. Wait, where are those people? You do not love roller coasters. You proudly lift your hand, look at you. Well, listen, me being the loving man that I am, I did not want Kristen to miss out on the joy and the experience of riding a roller coaster. That's right. That's right. Come on. I'm a loving man. I want to take care of my wife. And so I told her, I said, Kristen, there's this ride at Cedar Point. And I said, it is the smoothest ride in the park. I mean, the smoothest ride in the park. It's called the Millennium Force. hold on. If you like roller coasters, you will know it is. It's the smooth, I mean, one of the smoothest coasters in the park. I mean, it goes like 93 miles an hour, it's 310 feet tall, but it is smooth. I mean, it's smooth. I said, sweetheart, you are going to love it. She looked back at me. I mean, she's not buying a thing. I mean, she's not buying into this. And I said, Kristen, don't be so hasty. Let's get to the coaster. We're just here to enjoy the day, you know? And so we get to the front of the line. And you know how the lines at Cedar Point, I mean, they're designed to hold incredible amounts of people. And so we're quite far away from the coaster at this point. So she looks at the coaster and goes, okay. And so we commit ourselves to the line. And we get in the line and we're going back and forth and we're weaving. And then we finally get to the middle of the coaster, middle of the line. And here's the coaster right above us. I mean, right above us. And it happens. All of a sudden, the thing starts to shake. I mean, just like crazy. It starts to shake. Some of you are getting flashbacks right now. It starts to shake. And all of a sudden, here comes the screaming people flying down the track. And I look over at Kristen. This is not okay to her. This is actually wrong to her. And obviously being the loving man that I am, I comforted her in that moment. Listen, I said, sweetheart, those are screams of joy that you're hearing from those people. Those are screams of joy. Now listen, we had the opportunity that in the line of that coaster, we could have gotten out anytime we wanted to. We could have just hopped out of the line. I mean, we committed to the line, but we could have hopped out of the line at any point we wanted to, right, sweetheart? We could have gotten out. Don't look at what her head said. No. We could have gotten out of the line, but we made it all the way to the front of the line. And when we got to the front, here comes the coaster. It pulls up and the gate opens up and we step out. And I jump into the first seat, and she jumps into the seat right next to me, and I'm so excited at this moment, and all of a sudden, we buckle up, and boom, the coaster starts to move, and click, 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 up, 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 higher, 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 right? And there we go. And let me just say something for a second. How many realize when we were in the line of that coaster, we had the option, we could get out of the line whenever we wanted to. But once we sit in the seat of that coaster's moving and she ain't going back. We're there. We're there. That's commitment there. We're there. And so here we go. Click, 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 click. Up, 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 higher, higher, higher. Personally, I think that this is the most thrilling thing in the world. I love the click, click, clicks. I love the higher, higher, higher. But I look over at Kristen and she is terrified. I mean, absolutely. Look at you. Oh, she is terrified. And I'm thinking at this point, I mean, this was a bad choice. I made some bad choices. This is a bad choice. Lord, you're gonna have to help me through this one. I mean, honestly, I'm afraid I'm in trouble at this point, and I'm as terrified as she is to ride this thing. And so we finally, we get up to the top of the coaster, and here we go, we're about to go over the hill. I mean, she's holding on to the thing for dear life. And here we go, boom, we go down. You know how it goes. Your stomach drops to the floor and you go left, you go right, you go in circles, you go up, you go down, you go through the tunnels. And I'm just waiting for this thing to end. I mean, just waiting, because the longer I'm on this ride, the more trouble I'm gonna be in, right? And so we finally, we get to a stop. And I'm so hesitant to look over because I think I've done it for sure. Done it for sure. And so I look over and she's got the biggest grin, the biggest smile on her face. And I thought it was because she loved riding the roller coaster. Let me tell you, here's what I found out later. She wanted to love the things that I loved. She wanted to love the things I loved. She wasn't committed to a ride at Cedar Point. She was committed to the one that she loved. Now, listen, part of that smile might have been the fact that she just survived that roller coaster, but she was committed to the one that she loved. Here's what I'm trying to say. Our commitment to God should not be the type of commitment where we can just get in and out of the line as we choose. Our commitment to God should be the choice to sit in the seat of that coaster and say, I'm gonna buckle up. I'm choosing not to get off this ride because I'm right here next to Jesus and I wanna experience the fullness of my relationship with him. And whatever struggles come my way, whatever hills, whatever valleys come, I will count it all joy because in the end, I will have experienced the greatest love I could ever know. The love of a lifetime. And listen, I'm not saying it's gonna be easy. Listen, there's gonna be times in life, there's gonna be things that come your way that you don't wanna go through. But let me remind you who's sitting in the seat next to you on that coaster. And listen, your faith will build your perseverance to Jesus, and his love can walk you through anything. Stay committed to Jesus. Stay committed to Jesus. Okay, let's recap for a second. Okay, so we know that in order to avoid the pitfall of complication, we need to, in order for us to stop making our relationship with God complicated, we need to follow the simplicity of his word. Love God and love people. But how do I love God and love people? You gotta be committed. But we're just gonna keep breaking it down. How do we be committed? Here it is, make the choice. Now listen, some of you, you're going, listen, okay, this is breaking it down too simple at this point. This is too surface level, but I promise you, this is one of the most important points here, and there's a deep truth that can be easily missed. You cannot have love without commitment, and you cannot have commitment without choice. Have you ever wondered, why did God make a perfect people in a perfect place, and then he puts this tree in there, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and says you can't eat from it? Why would he do that? He makes a perfect people in a perfect place and then puts the tree there and says, no, you can't eat from it. Listen, it's because love requires choice. If there was no choice, there would not be love. God is not a dictator forcing us to obey. We are not his robots. God wants us to freely choose. And here's why. Without commitment, we cannot experience the intense joy and affection that we get to experience through love. We would miss out on the fullness of love, that love of a lifetime. You know, my daughter Ellie, she's actually here today. She's at a stage of life where we're allowing her to make more choices. We're giving her freedom to make choices. My son Benson, you know, he's 2 years old. And so, right, we're still making a lot of choices for him. The other day he goes, Dada, candy. And I said, no, son, it's breakfast. You're gonna have cereal, right? I mean, we got some work to do with him. But Ellie, she's at the stage of life where I wanna give her the opportunity. I wanna give her the experience to start making choices. Because when she makes decisions, she gets the joy and fulfillment that come with that. If I didn't give her the opportunity to make choices, I would be robbing her of the experience and the joy of doing the right thing on her own. Is somebody getting what I'm saying today? Listen, it's the same way with love. God has given us the power to choose. If he didn't let us choose, we would be missing out on the fullness, the depth, and the beauty of love. Let's get this down to where we live today. If you don't keep committing yourself to your friendships, to your relationships, to your marriage, to God, you will miss out on the depth of love, the love of a lifetime. And here's the truth. Some people will never get to experience that love because they won't remain committed. And listen, maybe that's you right now. You're going, man, it's just been hard. It's just been hard. I've had a hard time just remaining in that commitment. But let me tell you, I got good news for you. Here's what the Bible says. In Lamentations, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And here's what I'm saying. You have the chance to start over. And I'm not talking about later today. I'm talking about this morning. You have the chance to do that. And when you start making commitments and you start keeping commitments, you will experience the fullness of love, the love of a lifetime. I want to go back and I want to note something in the first passage that we started with in Matthew 22, verse 40. It says, the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Love God and love people. Why would God command us to do something if we didn't have a choice? It's because love and commitment are a choice. I know the movie version of love doesn't require commitment because, frankly, it just happens to you and you can't control it. And if it was just meant to be, well, it just happens. But listen, here's the deal. If you want to have a relationship, if you're single in the room, listen, if you want to have a relationship and you want to fall in love, you want to have a love of a lifetime, here's what you do. You commit to spend time with someone and you commit to learn more about them. And then you commit to align yourself with them. You commit to marry them. You commit to grow with them for the rest of your life. Listen, it was all a commitment and it was all a choice. Listen, we need to understand the choices that we make can affect our commitments. They can strengthen them and they can make them deeper, or they can break them. And you can break our commitments, leaving us picking up the pieces. There's power in our choices. We could all probably think of moments in our life that we made a poor choice that affected our commitments, maybe even broke our commitments. Okay, so how do I know that I'm making the right choices? I love what Pastor said this past week. I want to tie back to something he said. He said, you cannot change what you do. You cannot change your choices until, listen, you cannot change what you do until you change your information. And you cannot change your information until you change your environment. Listen, if you want to start making the right choices, you got to start pulling from the right information. Listen, maybe you need to get in the Word of God. Maybe you need to open up your phone, download the Bible app, and start a Bible reading plan. Listen, maybe you need to, on the way to work, start listening to worship music. Let me tell you, when you get full of the presence of God, you'll find that your choices start to align in the right direction. Maybe it's that you need to get a devotional time with your family. Maybe you need to get in a small group. What I'm saying is you need to get the right information around you. There's power in the choices that we make. And listen, don't ever be fooled into thinking that you don't have a choice. I think culture will say that sometimes, but listen, you do have a choice. And if you don't make choices, here's what'll happen. Here's what'll happen. Someone or something will start making choices for you. You don't think you're making choices, but you are leaning on the information from your environment, and you will become what you hang around. Your environment controls your information, and your information controls your choices. It might be social media. It might be news. It might be a friend group. It might be a relationship. It might be the movies that you watch, but the information you put in, I promise, the information you put in will define the choices that you make. I don't know about you, but I need to be in control of my choices. I want to be in control of my choices, because when you get in control of your choices and you get the right environment with the right information, you'll be able to keep your commitments. And when you keep your commitments, you can experience the fullness of love. I tell you, the enemy, he wants to trap you in the pitfall of overcomplication. He wants to trap you. And we may live in a complicated world, but God's word has never been complicated. I love what Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 31. He says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will, listen to this, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is saying, if you live in my word, when you commit yourself to me, you will know the truth. The enemy will try and complicate your walk with God. He did it in the Garden of Eden, and he's still doing it today. But listen, if you're committed to Jesus and you're committed to his word, the Holy Spirit will help you identify every pitfall, every pothole, every bump in the road.